defeaters are.
We're great.
And then there's you.
You suck.
We're really, really great.
Really great.
In contrast, you really suck.
Really suck.
Okay, full disclosure, we're not that great, but nevertheless, you suck.
Hello and welcome to White Men Can't Pod.
I forgot that was the name of our
podcast. That's the name of it. We should change it. Should we change it?
Yep. We'll come up with it later.
All right. Yeah. We'll come up with it later.
Name to
Is
be.
Is that going to be the new name to be named later?
The podcast?
Podcast to be named later about sports.
Movies.
Movies, not sports. Games. It's episode 53 of this show. I'm your host, Ryan. I'm here with Mr. Bill Cashin. Dynamite dropping money.
No.
And also Mr. Wally Foley.
I am here.
We are here to talk about, finally.
Yeah.
Finally, after 52 of these, we finally get to Major League. The new owner of the Cleveland Indians puts together a purposely horrible team, so they'll lose and she can move them. But when the plot is uncovered, they start winning just to spite her. It's Major League 1989 classic.
So the next question, presumably, when's the first time you saw this? I honestly don't know. Having watched it now, I have seen it before. I grew up on Major League 2.
Yes.
Major League 1, I think I might have been in college when I finally saw it. I'm not sure.
I remember it being on TV because I remember the Dorn part being like, strike this mother out.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And being like,
there is a lot of cussing in this movie.
Yeah, there's a part where the owner just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You don't get that in many movies these days.
No?
Well, it's a full, like, it's a full R, isn't it?
Hard R.
Hard R.
Hard R. Tom Berenger.
Yeah.
The man. Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
I always forget Charlie Sheen's there's not really movie. That big of a... He is a big deal, but he's not like the full focus.
No.
Yeah, he's, no.
It's more about Tom Berenger.
He's much more of a focus in the next one. But even then, he's one of many.
Got Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
Yeah, he's not back in two, is he?
No.
No, he gets replaced.
It's,
Willie Mays Hayes is still there, but.
It's still the character, but it's a different guy.
Yeah.
Is it Omar Epps?
Yeah.
I think it is Omar Epps. Okay. Bill, this is your movie.
It sure is.
Wally, did you see this on TV or years later?
I don't know. I want to say I didn't see it when I was a kid. I want to say it was something maybe in Netflix.
Netflix.
This was definitely on Comedy Central because I remember they would take the part where the outfielders all fall down and they would put that in the preview.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ball falls between them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that being like Major League coming up later and be like, all right, I'm in.
I might have seen it in college, maybe after college.
We probably showed it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I could at the time and possibly still now more or less do Major League 2 word for word. So then watching this was like a whole new,
it's been a while
thing for me. I definitely have seen the whole thing, but there are parts of it that I had forgotten.
As Stain would say, it's been a while since
Not Creed.
Not Creed.
It's Creed.
We screwed that up for like 300 episodes.
That's Creed.
It's fine. Aaron Lewis and Creed are the same.
Aaron Lewis is not happy about it.
Well, it's his fault. All right, 1989, directed by David S. Ward, and as you said, starring a million people. I guess we'll jump right into the box office game.
Yeah.
Budget?
Yeah.
Budget game or box office?
Well, both. We'll start with the budget. Got some stars in here.
Yeah, we got some stars, but...
And you got the rights to Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was 89?
1989.
$25 million.
$25 million.
I feel like that's might be high.
Then why did you guess it?
I regret it.
Okay.
You don't have to rub my face in it.
Well, right? 1989, you said.
Yeah. Back when a dollar is worth 2 cents or something.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know. I feel like that's now dollars worth 2 cents.
Oh, right.
I'll say, boy, I'll say 10 million.
10 million. Well, you're the winner. Budget of 11 million.
Wow. Nicely done.
So in 1989, what did this $11 million blockbuster take in?
It must have done well because they made two more.
That's
so
true. They did. It did lead to a sequel and a sort of sequel many years after.
$50 million.
So the sequel came out pretty soon after, didn't it?
No, 90? It was 94.
Was
really?
It? I don't know.
Major League
out.
2, I think, is in 94.
Because Major League 3 was like a separate
99.
Thing.
99.
1994 for Major League 2, so 5 years later.
Okay. 5 years, that's a long time for a sequel, so maybe it didn't make as much as I think. But I still said 50 million, so I'm going to stick with it.
I'll lowball it. I'll say 25 mil.
Ryan, you win this one. Yeah. $11 million movie made $75 million in the box.
Well done, Major League.
Yeah, this is a moneymaker.
It's a great movie.
So we roll in, and this I had forgotten this part of this franchise. We open with Randy Newman singing about Cleveland.
He's Randy Newman. Big in this movie. I
he
think
sure
there's
is.
Like three songs in this movie,
and this one is just like this. Reminded me of when they make fun of him on
Family Guy,
when he's just narrating whatever he sees. He's like, "There's a boat. It's in the river near Cleveland."
Didn't is it this one that Mike played when we went to Cleveland?
In the
minivan.
I would assume so.
Like,
yes.
All of us were in the minivan, and he just put all Cleveland-based songs on. At one point, we were driving in there. It was like any song that had anything to do with Cleveland, which
Carey
ended up being
show.
that
and this one.
This one, and then there was a song by the band, like "Look Out, Cleveland." Like, that's what I remember about that song.
Is Randy Newman second to Kenny Loggins, as far as soundtracks go?
Oh, come on. Kenny is first with a bullet.
I know. Is Randy Newman second?
I guess, because he did Toy Story, right? So he gets
he
points
did
for
Toy
that.
He's done a bunch of stuff. So we get a little montage of headlines and stuff. We basically learn the Indians have been a garbage team for a while at this point. And then we learn also the owner has died. And his former showgirl wife, Rachel Phelps, now owns the team. So the action starts with her calling like the leadership group together. Basically says, we are a garbage team. We have always been a garbage team. Here's how we're going to get worse. And she hands out a list of players that she wants to invite to camp. And all the baseball people are going like, I don't know who some of these people are. These ones are retired. This guy's dead. She just goes, well, then cross him off the list.
This guy's dead.
We start getting fan takes on this. Wally, do you like this cameo? One of the fans they keep showing?
Yeah, Wally, you should like this cameo. The construction worker.
The construction worker who keeps saying they're effing terrible.
Guy from Scrubs.
The janitor.
Was it really?
Yes,
yeah. I thought you would have pulled that out right away.
Oh, no.
He's in. He's got like six lines in this movie.
He's one of the guys who just keeps
they keep
not
showing
that bad.
Him. Yeah. Yeah.
The construction worker who hugs the guy with the mohawk at the end.
Oh, okay. That no, I did not realize that was janitor.
I thought you'd be all for him. My favorite part of this is the Japanese grounds crew.
They are great in this. They're not in the second movie though.
I don't think so.
Or maybe they're in one scene.
No, they are at least at the beginning because they say they're the S word again.
They're still shits.
They just keep saying that they're bad. The GM comes to meet with the owner and he's like, what are we doing here? And she basically says, I want you to put together this team for me. And then she says, I want you to hire Lou Brown as the manager.
God, I love
and he's
Lou
like,
Brown.
I would say that Lou Brown is the easy runner up for MVP of this movie.
Runner up for MVP.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Lou is so
I love good. Lou.
Lou but, is so good.
But she says, I want you to get Lou Brown. And even he goes, I don't know who that is. And then she basically says, listen, I want to move us to Miami. And he's like, you can't just do that. She says, if we draw less than 80,000 people, which is approximately 10,000 a night, I can immediately move us. We're going to go to Miami. I'm getting a brand new stadium. I get to live in this private neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. So she's all in on tanking. And she basically has it all set up. So he starts, the GM starts making calls. First, we meet Jake Taylor. He's the catcher and potential team leader. He's drunk in Mexico, playing in the Mexican League. And I love this where he calls and he's like, we want to bring you to Cleveland. And he's like, he thinks it's fake.
Yeah.
And he's like, is this you? Come on. You should have said at least that you should have at least said it was the Yankees. Then he calls Lou Brown, who's working at some car place. He's like, I want you to come in and manage.
Tire warehouse.
I want you to manage our team. He goes, I'll think about it. He's like, think about it. I want you to manage a major league club. And he goes, I'll call you back. I got a guy in the other line about some white walls.
He's busy at the tire place.
We meet young pitcher Rick Vaughn. He's got a firearm, but also he happens to be in jail currently.
That's right.
He's like, I don't know if I can make it by spring training.
He's part of the California Penal League.
Yep. So we go to spring training, and we see Jake show up. And Lou Brown's like, hey, he was an all-star for Boston, right? I'm like, yeah, but he's been in Mexico. His knees are shot. And somebody's like, we should have got him 2 years ago. And the other guy goes, we did have him 2 years ago.
He's been there already.
Oh, 4 years ago, we should have got him. Then we meet Pedro Serrano.
The best.
Yeah, he's great. Dennis
Haysbert, who is still doing stuff.
Yeah.
We saw him in Love and Basketball.
That's right.
Show.
Yep.
As the weird dad who cheated on his wife.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Cuban defector. He wanted to leave Cuba so he could practice his religion freely. His religion, is
yeah,
voodoo.
Voodoo.
It's not just voodoo though. He's got a little miniature guy, yeah. Jobu.
Jobu. Jobu. Yeah. We then meet your guy Ryan, Roger Dorn.
Love.
We find out he can hit.
Him. Love him.
But he does not play in the field. And I like Lou Brown's like, I thought you said we didn't have any high-priced stars in this team. And he goes, well, that's because I forgot about Dorn. All he is high-priced. And then we meet Willie Mays Hayes. No one has a clue who this guy is.
He just shows up.
And he says, I run like Hayes and play like Mays. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then Lou Brown's like, all right, that's great, but you need to go park in the parking lot.
His voice is just so good in this
Lou
movie.
Brown.
Well, he is easily the second best part of this movie.
I'm really trying to. I'm struggling to see who he's not, who he's below.
We'll get there. Rick Vaughn finally shows up. He looks like he hitchhiked in on a motorcycle. He's the bad boy. Lou Brown loves him immediately, and he is into this mess of a team. He's like, this is my kind of team. We go into the locker room where we meet Harris. He's the vet pitcher who's just a junk baller. He throws everything off speed and gross.
He cheats. He's constantly like doctoring balls.
Spit balls and Vaseline. And at one point he says Vagisil. He loves Jesus, though. We do quickly learn he loves Jesus. Almost immediately, Dorn starts in on Rick Vaughn, just picking on him for being a rookie with a bad haircut. And so they set up a rivalry right off the jump. Then Serrano walks over to Dorn and takes a golf sock off of his driver. He's like, oh, yes, this will keep my bat warm.
Hats for bats.
Hats for bats.
And Dorn starts to, like, take it back from him, and he just gives him a look. And Dorn, like, lets him keep it because he's massive. That night, while everyone's sleeping, which to me this is wild that they have basically 50 guys sleeping in one room on bunk beds.
Yeah, that's weird. There's no way that existed then.
Yeah. But they throw Willie Mays Hayes right out of camp because they don't know who he is. Next morning, though, he wakes up outside the fence and in bare feet and pajamas out sprints two other guys. And they decide, all right, get him a uniform. He's got something.
He's in.
So we start to meet the team now on the field, not just in the locker room. Willie Mays Hayes is fast. Jake Taylor, the catcher, has bum knees. Lou Brown basically says, like, don't lie to me. And then he's like, no, I'm good. And then he says something like, well, you better lie to me if you want to make this team.
And he tries to throw down to second, and he three hops it.
Yeah.
He's definitely lost
like,
it.
Shit.
Willie Mays Hayes is hitting just pop-ups, just straight up in the air. Lou comes out and tells him, like, you're a speed guy. You need to put it on the ground and run. Says for
put the ball on the ground.
I need 20 push-ups for every ball in the air. When he comes over, he goes in his Lou Brown ways. Well, you may run like Maze, but you hit like shit. So, yeah, he's got to do push-ups.
You're telling me he's the second MVP?
Yes, the second MVP.
I can't believe this.
He
might win two MVPs in a row.
He might. But I think he's a double runner-up is what I think.
Wow.
Who is he?
Don't know who you're talking about. I'm trying to think.
So we then see Rick Vaughn pitching. He's got an arm. He's throwing 95 plus, but he has absolutely no control.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. And he might be the three-time MVP, actually.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I have now figured it out.
That's what I thought.
All right. I've now figured it out. Yes.
Yep.
He's probably a three-time MVP.
Yeah. Roger Dorn is, he will not get in front of a ground ball. He's trying to just sidestep everything.
Dorn, what's with this Olay shit?
And he says he wants to protect his face, basically. He's got plans for after baseball.
He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, so it doesn't really matter, which it's not really how it works.
Yeah.
Usually you try your ass off to get a big contract.
Yeah. Serrano, we see hitting bombs, absolute giant home runs. And they say, like, how does no one else know about him? And he goes, all right, Harris, throw him some off-speed stuff, and he cannot touch it. He's not even close on curveballs and whatnot.
The assistant coach is underrated in this. Like, is it Leach?
Pepper?
Is his name?
They call him Pepper, but
Pepper?
Something like that.
Pepper Leach.
Yep.
Pepper Leach is underrated. He's a couple good ones in here.
I actually like the GM, too.
I do, too. Yes. What's his name? Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
Shut up, Charlie.
So, on the side of the field, Dorn comes over to Lou Brown and presents his contract and says, like, in my contract, you cannot make me do sit-ups. And Lou takes the contract, looks at it, drops it on the ground, staring into Dorn's eyes, pees on the contract.
He pisses on it.
So good.
So good. Lou Brown.
Lou Brown is excellent. We then go in the locker room. We learn about the red tags, which is if you find a red tag in your locker room, it basically means go talk to the coach because you're getting caught. So everybody's worried, especially the young guys. Jake's trying to tell them, oh, don't worry about it today. You're not going to get caught day one. But then we get a little sneak peek of Major League Two and things to come because Harris is talking to young pitcher Rick Vaughn about all the different things he has on his body, the substances, so he can doctor the ball. And he's like, and if the umpire's being real on top of me, I just put some Tabasco in my nose, so get and he
starts running.
Rick Vaughn's like, you put snot in the ball, and he says, hey, I don't have an arm. Like, this is what I got to do. Yeah. Someday you're gonna have to too.
And he will.
Yeah.
One season later.
Pedro Serrano is now
life
making
comes at you fast, Murray. Life
sacrifices
fast,
to so. Jobu. Who is his little character in his locker.
Jobu.
To help him hit the curveball. Harris asks him, like, what's going on here? He's like, I got to make sacrifices so it'll help me hit curveballs. Right now the bats are afraid of them. And Harris is like, maybe you ought to talk to Jesus Christ instead. And he's like, oh, Jesus, I like him very much, but he no help with curveball. And then this is the line that sticks in my head for
great
no reason.
Line.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Like, all right, you're right. Knock it off.
Settle down.
It is a great one.
Go ahead.
I love when Harris like asks for everyone to pray, and everyone's like, "Oh, fuck you."
Yeah, Dorn's like, "I'm going to my office."
Can we? He farts and like waves it at him when he walks away. Dorn, huge change for Dorn between this movie and the next movie.
Oh yeah, different person. We're going to use this as a break for an eBay war.
Okay.
If you want to go take a look.
Is it Dorn's farts that we're bidding on?
No, we're not bidding on Dorn's farts.
Oh, a Jobu.
We're bidding on Jobu.
A Jobu. All
right.
I like this.
Yeah. Jobu, officially licensed Major League movie replica 10-inch figure.
I feel like I need a Jobu, or is that wrong?
There was another version of this that was autographed, but it was autographed by Rick Vaughn, not by Pedro Serrano.
That makes no sense.
Didn't make any sense. So this is Jobu, officially licensed Major League movie replica 10-inch figure. Buy, B-Y, the Jobu Lifestyle exclusive to ClarkToys.com.
Okay, sure.
Major League movie replica 10-inch figure, officially licensed replica from the hit baseball movie Major League, includes replica Pedro Serrano locker room packaging. Get superstitious. It's very bad to steal Jobu's rum. It's very bad. Cigar included inside the styrofoam inside the locker box.
I like it. Who has to go first?
So we are currently tied, but I did have the lead most recently, so I still have to go first.
Okay. Great.
10-inch statue?
Yep. With that locker box included, yep.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Ooh, too bad, Wally.
$49.99.
Interesting.
$65.
Oh. You guys both have decent bids.
Damn.
Which, of course, means, Wally, you're the winner.
Oh!
U.S. $59.99.
Close one.
Yeah. That was a close one.
Close one. I should have just went $1.
Well, if you won $1, you still would have lost.
I should have went more than $1.
You should have gone $1 over.
That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I meant, $1 over. Stop it. Okay. I might have to buy this. Damn.
Yeah, $60.
That's not bad.
And there's a couple other pictures, a close-up of his weird face, and then there is the... Maybe this is why it was autographed by Rick Vaughn. There's another box that has... Rick Vaughn's face on it, which doesn't make sense. But,
okay, that's weird.
But yeah, it's like Pedro's locker. It's got a picture of his jersey and stuff on the inside. All right, so Jobu can't hit the curveball. Where were we?
Jesus Christ, can't hit a curveball?
Oh, yes. So we go to spring training games now, and they're getting ready. Willie Mays Hayes hits a pop-up and then doesn't even run it out, just drops immediately and starts doing push-ups in the middle of a game. But the montage shows they're very bad, but they're kind of starting to come together. We go in for the last day of cuts, so everyone, including like the vets, are nervous. Seems to be going okay, except for Rick Vaughn out of nowhere gets cut. So he runs to the coach's room and freaks out and says, like, you're going to regret this. I'm going to catch on somewhere else, and it's going to be your fault for letting me go. And Lou Brown basically says, well, I like that kind of spirit. The only problem is I didn't cut you.
Oh, I think someone's playing a trick on you.
So Dorn, obviously, and he goes out and tries to fight Dorn. He says, what, you can't take a joke?
Is there any reason for him to go straight at Dorn right now? Like, they haven't had much interaction.
Dorn's been just, like, messing with him and calling
him
names and
stuff. Dorn made fun of his haircut.
Yeah.
He threw something at him at one point.
He's been giving him like a little bit of rookie hazing. Nothing major.
Yeah,
but.
I was going to say I don't remember him doing much, if anything, to him.
It's probably Dorn.
But he assumes Dorn, and it turns out it was because he says, like, oh, you can't take a joke. So, yeah, but he didn't get caught, and the rest of the guys that we've been meeting obviously have also made the team. We now get another round of seeing the Cleveland fans, which – at this point, does not include Randy Quaid.
Right. Upgrade.
Yeah.
Upgrade in the second movie with Randy Quaid coming in.
But we get them, and even the diehards are saying, like, I don't know who any of these players are. The whole city's got low expectation. Grounds crew again, the Japanese grounds crew, think very lowly of them. So they get back to Cleveland, and Jake Taylor takes out the rookies, Vaughn and Willie Mays Hayes, to celebrate. They go to a fancy restaurant where the other guys are like looking for hot dogs. And they got Rick Vaughn in a tie. And it's a tie, and he's in like a cutoff jacket.
Yes.
No undershirt, right?
Yeah. He's just like, amazing. It's the rules. Got to wear it. But while they're at the restaurant, he sees his ex, Lynn, and she's there with another guy.
Rene Russo.
Yep. Right away starts creeping on her. He calls her from the restaurant to make her come like talk to him. And she's like, I'm here with somebody else. I can't do this right now. And he's real weird anyways. So she says, like, I'm not leaving until you give me your number. So she gives him her number and, like, walks away.
And he cheated on her, like, a bunch of times.
Yes.
So he's not a good dude.
We go to opening day. Harris and Serrano are fighting in the locker room again. And this is where Harris is like, can I lead the team in prayer? And Lou Brown's like, I don't care. Like, whatever.
But he leaves.
He leaves. Dorn then leaves.
Farts.
Yep. So while he's saying his prayer, Serrano like lights off like not a firecracker, but some loud noise in his locker, and he's like, "I'm waking up my bats," and in doing so, he sets off the sprinkler, and everybody gets soaked. Finally, we're this far into the movie, MVP Harry Doyle enters the picture.
Harry Doyle,
Bob Uecker, who is the best.
I have to say. We know in the second movie what happens to him.
Yes.
But I like how they subtly just put that Jack Daniels bottle next to him.
Yes.
And he's drinking out of the Jack Daniels. He never references it. He never gets super drunk like he does in the second movie. He
dabs himself behind the ears at one point, like he's putting it on as like cologne or something.
There's one part where he's drinking it and it's like halfway gone in one of the games, and there's like a million Indians cups in front of him. He's just been pouring it into Indians cups the whole game.
Yeah. And then later he's got like different mixed drinks or something. Yeah.
But it never gets referenced in his commentary in any way. He's just always drinking Jack Daniels.
Yeah. So he's Harry Doyle. He's on the car. I didn't realize that Monty was actually the color
Monty
guy.
Monty is in this one.
I know he's in. I thought he just showed up in the second one. I didn't realize he was here.
He
also
doesn't do anything until that one part at the end where it's like, not best color man in the business.
Yeah, I think he has two lines the whole time. But he comes on and he is on fire from the jump. He's like, let's listen to the roar of the crowd. And he holds the microphone out to the, like, you know, 4,000 fans that are in attendance. Like, they're wild about their Indians here.
They do that again later on, and the two of them...
they cheer.
Yeah, pretend like they're cheering fans.
Yes. There's also a part where he says something, and it pisses off all the sports writers, and they all flip him off at the same time. Yeah. I like that.
He also says something like, got a lot of new faces on the tribe this year, and hopefully we have names before the start of the game. So we go to start, and we show the owner, Rachel, and Charlie, the GM, and they're celebrating the looming failure. Early in the game, we get a basket catch by Willie Mays Hayes. As he's running back to the dugout, Lou Brown says, like, hey, great catch. Don't ever do it again.
Don't ever fucking do it again.
Willie Mays Hayes then comes to lead off for the Indians. And Bob Uecker's like, they say you can tell a lot about how a season's going to go based on the first hitter. And he hits a little dinker of an infield single, but he races and beats it out for the hit. He goes like, I don't know how he's sticking his body in front of that one. He's got kids to think about. He gets on, but then immediately gets picked off at first base. He says, like, I'm going to steal a bunch of bases. And the first baseman like, it's going to be tough to steal when your shoes are untied.
He said he's going to steal 100 bases this season.
Yeah, he's got 100 pairs of gloves, one for each base he's going to steal.
So I looked it up, and in the 20th century, before 1989, there was only something like 7 or 8 instances where somebody stole over 100 bases. And 3 of them were Ricky Henderson. 3 of them were some other guy.
Lou Brock, maybe?
No, Lou Brock had 1. And then somebody else. I can't remember what his name was. But yeah, another guy had 3, and then there was 1 other person. So not many, but in the 1800s, woo!
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people stealing a lot of bases, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody could reach. reach second base.
So then we see, the team is bad. Pedro striking out. They can't field. We see the one where the outfielders run into each other. Then the next time there's another pop-up like that, and they all just avoid it. No one goes for the ball. They're very bad. And late in the game, after it doesn't matter, we finally get Rick Vaughn coming in to make his debut. He comes up, throws one pitch way out of everything, and Uecker goes, just a bit outside.
Classic.
Ball 4. Ball 8, ball 12. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches this close? The big bat, the bad guy from the Yankees comes up. And I love his interaction with Taylor, where he's like, Jake, what are you doing here? And he's like, I was in Mexico, but I couldn't cut it, so they sent me back to Cleveland.
And then he was in Mexico and couldn't cut it.
And then he just says to him, hey, how's your wife and my kids? Then he proceeds to hit a grand slam.
Yep.
Rick Vaughn gets mad, and then either because he's wild or he's mad or both, he hits the next batter, gets tossed out of the game, and the whole thing implodes, and they lose 9-0 in their their game number one. After the game, Taylor tries to call Lynn, finds out he was given a fake number. So he stalks her. He goes to the library where he knows that she works. We learn that she is also a former athlete, but she's now a librarian. And she's engaged. And yes, this is where we learn she's like, you cheated on me like several times.
Yeah.
And he like tries to like defend himself.
It's just what you do when you're a ball player.
He says like, well, she said she had a nicer body than you did, so I had to defend you.
Whoa. Jesus. I like when she yells back at him, like, I have a nicer body.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So she basically says like, I'm engaged. Like, you can't do this. We see Rachel start stripping things away from the team. Instead of like a good charter flight, they get an old crappy plane that looks like it's going to fall out of the air.
Oh my God.
Serrano crosses himself. And Harris is like, I saw that.
Now you do it.
He's not fooled.
My favorite thing ever, though, is that he yells at him. He says he's not fooled while he's reading a Hustler.
Yeah.
He's reading a Hustler magazine. He's not fooled. Oh, back to the steals thing. Ricky Henderson had 130 stolen bases in 1982.
Yeah, he's wild.
130. There's some fun names on the steals list, though. Paul Molitor stole 504 bases.
Really? Paul Molitor did, huh?
Kenny Lofton, remember him?
Oh, Lofton was fast.
He loved him. 502.
And he played for, he was William A's Hayes. He played for Cleveland.
Yeah. Part of it. Ichiro had 487 steals.
Oh, wow.
Ozzie Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep.
Tim Raines had 635 steals.
Really?
Yeah. Joe Morgan?
Yeah.
681. There's some other fun ones, though. Juan Pierre. Remember him?
Oh, I forgot about Juan Pierre.
Juan Pierre. Otis Nixon.
Oh, Otis. Yeah, he was fast.
He was fun. Yeah, there's some fun ones on here. But a lot of old guys, like you said. Yeah,
definitely.
Ty Cobb
stole a ton. Lou Brock was Ricky Henderson before Ricky Henderson.
Arlie Latham. Honus Wagner. All these guys stole a shitload of bases.
Vince Coleman. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Oh, Vince Coleman.
He did it like
three
right?
times.
Vince Coleman, yeah.
Three seasons in a row, he did it. 110, and then 107, and then 109.
Wow.
That's awesome.
We go to another game, and it's just the end. It's Harry Doyle cleaning things up. Well, Vaughn sets an AL record by throwing four wild pitches in an inning. And then he says something like, he says, I forget what exactly he says, but he says, God damn. And this is Monty's first. He covers his microphone and goes, you can't say goddamn on the air.
No one's listening.
Don't worry. No one's listening anyway. Jake Taylor now starts straight up stalking Lynn, following her home from work. Mm-hmm. But he follows her unintentionally to her fiance's house.
Hold on a second. This is fun. Four wild pitches in an inning has happened before in the major leagues. Four different times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Four different times, including the Yankees in 2021.
Oh, who did that?
But the most ever was five wild pitches in a single inning by, can you guess the man?
Give us a hint.
Timmy Wakefield?
He was a pitcher and did really bad and then became like an outfielder.
Oh,
Rick Ankiel.
I would have never come up with that.
Five wild pitches in an inning, in a single inning.
Was he an A?
He was a Cardinal.
Oh, okay.
Five wild pitches in a single inning.
Well, that's National League, though.
Rick Ankiel.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar.
And then he became an outfielder and like hit dingers after that.
And he was good for a couple years.
He was all right.
Jake Taylor stalks Lynn. Goes to her fiance's, and he basically invites him in so he can embarrass him in front of his high society friends. And Taylor handles it pretty well, But we basically just learned they're both kind of jerks. They're neither one of them is a good guy.
Yeah.
I like when he says the thing about the Olympics, like, I want to have kids who make it to the Olympics. And everyone's like, oh, okay, that's weird.
What event? And he says the 200 meter individual medley. And then they ask her.
Flynn, didn't you used to swim?
Yeah, 200 what event? Individual medley.
And everybody's like, ooh.
The one lady, though, is.
She wants him.
Wants.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor, she wants him.
Oh, you're a ball player?
How? I heard they make good money. What do you make?
Yeah.
The league minimum. So yeah, he is a jerk, but also Jake is kind of a jerk too. So, then in a meeting where he basically, the coach is telling Rick Vaughn, I'm going to have to send you down because you just can't pitch. We find out it's because he cannot see at all. So he has to get glasses.
Mm-hmm.
For game one, he has this really thick, ugly pair of brown ones. And he says like, I don't know. Coach says I need them. It'll be worth it or something like that. And Willie Mays says, goes, I don't know if it's going to be worth that or something like that.
Yeah, he makes fun of them. They're red like old lady glasses.
Yeah. On the way out to the game, Harris decides he's going to drink Jobu's rum. Very bad idea. He was warned. He gets Tim Hept right in the head with a flying baseball bat.
Tim Hept! What a reference that no one will know.
Nobody's going to get that.
You know
hit.
It.
I know it. He got hit in the head with a bat.
I think I have to fight you now.
I think I have to fight you for hitting my brother in the back of his head with a bat. Who did that to him?
Ryan Jobe.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did.
He just like threw a bat for willy-nilly and hit young Tim Hep right in the back of the head.
Jesus, it's a miracle we survived.
Yeah. So Vaughn's actually having a good game with his glasses. He's got a chance to pick up a complete game win, but Roger Dorn basically olays the ball and just lets it get by him. And he's mad, and he basically says, and Taylor comes out to, like, settle him down. He's like, Dorn did that on purpose. He's trying to screw with me. So Taylor says, like, just get one over the plate. I'll take care of it. And he messes with the batter's head, gets him to just do a quick pop-up to end the game, which I like after it's up and he's, like, standing 2 feet in front of the plate. Like, oh, I don't think this one's going to make it.
I don't think that's going to do it.
So he gets the win. And we get a small montage of things are starting to come together. The team's happy. The GM is starting to show that he's happy even though Rachel keeps telling him like
yeah,
not to.
He's cheering for the team.
Taylor goes over to Dorn's house and basically yells at him and threatens him and says, like, you need to, like, start trying. And Dorn tries to say, like, what do you care? Like, you're not a young guy. Don't give me this rah-rah garbage. And he basically says, like, this is all I got left. Like,
he says, if you don't do that, I'll come back over and cut your balls off and shove them down your fucking throat.
Yeah.
Right in front of Mrs. Dorn. Anyone want a spot of cheese? I'll shove your balls down your fucking throat, Dorn.
Yep. We then go back to a quick round of the fans, and they're starting to get on board, and they're saying, like, oh, they're not actually that bad, except for the grounds crew, who still,
they still hate them.
Yep. Your guy, Wally, starting to get on board.
Mm-hmm. Janitor.
So in order to stop all this, Rachel takes more stuff away. She gets rid of the hot water. So she comes in the locker room when Lou Brown is complaining. He's like, I need to go talk to that B word. And she's like, I'm right here. And he's naked.
Butt naked, yeah.
She's like, don't you want to get a towel? And he goes, we're out of towels.
We're all out.
And she's just like, well, all right, if you're okay with it, I am.
She doesn't care. Yep. She's seen it all. She's a showgirl.
So she basically tells them, like, F off. I don't care about any of you. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
We'll just fix the old hot water heater. We're not getting
you
a new one.
You fixed it 7 times already.
Yeah. So we go to another game as they're starting to win. And at the end of the game, Jake sees Lynn there. And so he's like, oh, I got her hooked. She came to see me.
Uh-oh.
So he gets into the golf cart with a that is a giant
the bullpen car
helmet and drives it to her, follows her again.
How can he catch up to her so quickly?
I don't know, but he does. And he goes to her apartment this time. And so, of course, they hook up for
she
old
says,
time's sake.
She says
she's very on board very quickly.
Yeah.
She says, you're always good at this part. It's everything else you're bad at.
Yeah.
And this is the last time that I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So they do, but then when he wakes up in the morning, she's gone.
She gone.
She's not, like, interested. Rachel decides at this point to take the plane away entirely, so they're just on an old bus traveling everywhere. But despite all that, they're still beating everyone except for, of course, those hated Yankees. Bad guy Haywood, he hits another dinger off Rick Vaughn, absolutely crushes him. So the GM comes in, talk to Lou, and says, like, you're doing a great job. And he's like, oh, we're 60-61. I don't know if that's great.
It's not great.
It's like, with these guys, it is. And he even says, he's like, listen, we're going to figure out a way to beat these guys, talking about the Yankees. He's like, the veterans are playing up, you know, well. The rookies are coming on quicker than I thought they were. So we got two or three all-stars on this team right now. Like, I think we're a competitor as is.
Yeah.
And, like, the GM likes it, but the GM basically tells him, listen, the owner is just going to tear it apart. Doesn't matter what you guys do this year, she's going to tear it apart.
Yeah.
So Lou goes into the team and basically lets them know this. Like, this is it. You know, at the end of the year, if you're not traded, you'll be cut outright. She doesn't want us to do well. Like,
if you're lucky, you'll be back in the minors.
Yeah. So Jake stands up and basically says, well, then, I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole fucking thing.
Great fucking line by Behringer. Behringer has like three completely badass moments.
Yeah, when he needs this to be the one, team leader.
This is one. The other one is when he walks out for that last at bat. The way he marches out to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, oh, look at this guy. He's about to, he thinks he's in platoon still. He's fucking ready to go.
Yeah. And then Willie Mays Hayes and Serrano immediately are on board, and the whole team is. We introduce now the Rachel cutout, which Lou Brown basically says, I figure it's going to take 30 more wins or 32 wins or whatever to make the playoffs. So for every win we get, one piece of clothing is coming off, and it's just little tearaway pieces. So it's just a weird little motivational thing they got. And we get a montage, and that's how you know it's on. We see them playing well. Willie Mays Hayes stealing bases and nailing the gloves up on his wall. Rick Vaughn's getting strikeouts. Serrano's hitting dingers. It's all coming together.
Dorn's playing in the field. Did we say that?
Oh, yeah. He's starting
to. Dorn's actually playing hard.
We get, yep, we see him trying to just get. They show him take his shirt off after practice one day and he's just covered. Beat up from getting in the way of balls. And we get some headlines to say, like, they're closing the gap. They're catching up, you know, like, here they come. The team gets a Visa commercial where they basically say, like, you don't know who we are, but we're the Cleveland Indians. And then never steal home without it.
Yes, great. Love the commercials in all these movies.
The commercials in the second one are so funny. Good. Odiferous, esophagus,
emancipation. Odoriferous, Odysseus. Emancipation.
Upside down. Upside down.
Oh, and he like fake hangs himself with his headphones.
During like an interview segment where they're, you know, the team's coming back from a road trip, Mrs. Dorn's watching and sees Roger Dorn disappearing with another woman.
Oh, no.
Does not like this, obviously. But of course, since it is a sports movie, it all comes down to one game. They got a one game against the Yankees for the pennant.
Why are these movies always just for the pennant? We never get to the World Series. Well, we never win the World Series. It's always the pennant. It's Rookie of the Year is the same thing.
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield is the same thing.
Because it's a year-long struggle for that.
Yeah. That's the pennant. It's always for the pennant.
Also, Major League 2, I think, is about the World Series, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a playoff game.
All right.
It's, again, not the World Series.
So we're going for the pennant here. Lou Brown tells Rick Vaughn, listen, I'm not going to start you. Harris has had a good year. I need you ready, but I know it's your turn in the rotation. I'm going to give the start to Harris. He says, like, he gets it, but he's visibly upset. So he's sitting drinking by himself at a bar, and some mystery woman in a red dress comes in. And says, like, I think you're the sexiest man I ever saw, and seduces him. When she gets up later to, like, leave, we find out it is Mrs. Dorn.
Uh-oh.
Roger's wife has done this, and there's some big trouble Bruin, because she leaves. It's like, what? Oh, hey, Jake.
Did they live together this whole time?
Right. I don't know. Jake is living with Rick Vaughn, I think. Yeah.
Did you mention that she saw Dorne on camera?
On TV with another woman.
She sees him cheating.
Yeah.
So Jake, right away, is like, what in... Rick Vaughn says, like, I had no idea. I swear to God, I did not know. But something's up. Then before going to the game, Dorne gives her a kiss, and she's like, I have something I need to tell you. And she, like, brags to him, basically, about what she's done. Mm. So we get to game time. Jake Taylor's trying to keep wraps on everything. He says to Vaughn, like, get dressed and get out to that bullpen.
Yeah, go to the bullpen.
Serrano wants to sacrifice a chicken. So he's got to figure that out.
A live chicken he wants to sacrifice.
So it's a pain, but finally we get to game time. Lou Brown sends his team out into the field, and we go up to the booth. And Harry Doyle's giving like a little recap. He goes, Monty, anything to add? No. He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
Oh, my God.
I love their two, especially now that I know it's the two from both of the movies.
Yes.
They're the best. So it's a tight game early, playing defense but not breaking through offensively. Harris is throwing a good game, but they just can't do anything offensively. I think we get to the sixth inning, and Harris gives up a two-run homer. So now they're playing from behind. And Doyle says, you know, they've been – living on the edge all night, and it finally came, caught up to him. So we go to the eighth inning. It's still 2-0. With two outs, finally, Roger Dorn gets something going, gets on base with a single. Serrano comes up, gets two quick strikes, and then like steps out of the box and has like a whole moment where he's like, Jobu, I good to you. I give you all this stuff. You know, help me now. I say, fuck you. I do it myself.
Fuck you, Jobu.
I do it myself.
And so he comes back in and hits like a 700-foot home run. Just absolutely crushes the ball.
I think he actually hit that home run, too. I think that, like, the trivia is saying that he actually hit some home runs in the filming of the movie. So I think this is one of the ones that he actually hits a home run.
That's awesome.
And he was so excited, that's why he kept the bat with him.
I love that he runs with the
bat.
Right,
which that I'm pretty sure is legal. If you touch first base with the bat in your hand, I think you're out.
Probably.
Well, there's another trivia thing saying there's no such rule that says you cannot bring the bat with you as long as it doesn't interfere with play.
Oh, he runs with the bat.
I thought that was a rule. Interesting. So it's tied up now. So... in the top of the ninth, which I don't know why this is being played in Cleveland, but it is. Yankees get two on with two outs. And then Harris walks the bases loaded. And Big Bat Hayward's coming up. So Lou Brown comes out and basically says, like, you pitched a great game. And he's like, I got one more in me, coach. He's like, nah, you got us this far. Let us get an out for you. And he calls for Vaughn. And Taylor's like, Vaughn?
What?
It's like, I know he gets killed by this guy, but I got a feeling.
I got a hunch.
I got a feeling he's due for one.
So he comes out, and Taylor's like, this is the out you've been waiting your whole life for, basically. And he's pumped up. And all of a sudden, from third base, here comes Dorn. Dorn approaches him, takes the ball from him, basically. Says, I got one thing to say to you.
Oh, no. What could it be?
Strike this. Mother hecker out.
Strike this motherfucker out.
Strike this motherfucker out.
So he comes up and one finger down. There was a 90, I think, 7-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yep.
So he's like, what are we going to pitch this time? Taylor calls for his. There was a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. And then in three straight pitches, he throws a strikeout. He strikes him out with a 101-mile-an-hour heater.
I love when Taylor's just fucking with
the batters.
Batter, and he's just like, I wonder what we're going to pitch now. You can't touch it.
Let's try something else this time. Oh, there it is.
So we go to the bottom of the ninth. We got two outs, and not at the beginning of the inning, but apparently just now, in comes the Duke, the stud closer who leads the league, they said, and I think strikeouts, saves, and hits Batman.
I wish they had, like, developed the Duke a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, the Vaughn thing is over.
Yeah.
You know, we'd never see the Duke until right now.
So with two outs, Willie Mays Hayes comes up, and he beats out an infield single. So they got something cooking here. So he of course, as would happen in any game at this point, he takes a huge lead off first. He almost gets picked off, but then he is able to steal second. And Jake Taylor's at the dish right now. So once he's got a man in second, he steps out and he starts flashing some signs. Lou Brown's like, ooh, that's a good idea. So he steps back into the box and he calls his shot, starts pointing to the left field bleachers.
Man. That hasn't happened since the 30s when Babe Ruth did it.
Yep. So he...
Which that's a lie. We used to do that all the time growing up.
So he catches some chin music for it, gets knocked on his butt. He steps back in the box, and he calls a shot a second time now. So he's in the box calling a shot. Mays takes a big lead off second. Next pitch comes in, and he lays down a very unsuspected bunt towards third base. And you see the third baseman go like, oh, no.
Oh, shit.
So he, bad knees and all, he beats out the throw to first. While this is going, Hayes has not only gotten to third, but he's rounded it, and he's heading for home. So they throw the ball into, but he gets a nice hook slide around the catcher, and the Indians win. We see real quickly, Rachel is very angry. The GM is celebrating. We see the whole city going nuts. We get the biker guy and the janitor hugging.
Bringing the city together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Harris and Serrano are having a good time. They finally bridge the gap. Dorn comes running over to Vaughn, punches him in the face,
and then lifts him
and
up.
Picks him back up, and then they're celebrating. Taylor and the coach are celebrating together till we see Lynn in the crowd waiting for him, and she holds up her hand to show that there's not a ring on it.
Oh.
So he goes over, and he picks her up and brings her into the group huddle, and we get a freeze frame, of course. To end the game.
Love a freeze frame.
What a movie.
Great movie.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. Tough one, Quote Mountain. Might be our toughest yet.
Yeah.
Might be our toughest yet. Man. Just a Bit Outside is probably the winner because it's the most famous.
That's a good one.
But there's some other funny ones.
That one is the one, and then the You Tell Me Jesus Christ Can't Hit a Curveball.
I like that one, too.
But I feel like it's got to be a Harry Doyle quote, right?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Just a Bit Outside, too.
Just a Bit Outside. That is a very well-known one. Oh, yeah, this one is not it. But just a reminder, fans, coming up is Die Hard Night. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
I like this one. The post-game show is brought to you by, searches through his papers, Christ, I can't find it. Tell with it.
One hit? That's all he got? One goddamn hit? That's what it is. You can't say goddamn.
Can't say goddamn. Oh, my God. I do like You Telling Me Jesus Christ Can't Hit a Curveball. Either that one or Just a Bit Outside. I don't know if there's any others that...
Lou Brown is so good, too, though.
He's so good.
You may Lou Brown run like Hayes, but you hit like shit.
Lou Brown peeing on the contract.
That's a quote.
Solid. Just the pee hitting the contract?
In case you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance you haven't, the Indians have managed to win a few here and there, and are threatening to climb out of the cellar.
He does this in the other one, but Haywood swings and crushes this one towards South America. Tomlinson is going to need a visa to catch this one.
Yep.
There's an even better one of those.
There's
in the second one.
The next one, yeah.
Ball four, ball eight, low, and he walks the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
How are they laying off these?
Lay off these pitches.
Love that. All right, so which one is it?
That was your wife and my kids.
That's such a good one.
Yeah, you guys. Any, what's everybody's final decision?
Give me the curveball one. I like that one.
That's the one that is stuck in my head for whatever reason.
That's the funniest one.
You tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
That's the one.
Yep.
All right. Most valuable player has to be Harry Doyle.
Harry Doyle. Sorry, Lou Brown. You're amazing.
Lou Brown.
He's the second best, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how does he not win it?
But Harry Doyle's how he doesn't win it.
Harry Doyle is his actual name in the show.
In the movie, movie. Bob Uecker is his name in,
yep.
in the real life.
All right. Final. This is where it's going to get real tricky. Final review. Final verdict. What does this movie get as a ranking?
11 and a half.
Is it better than The Sandlot?
No. I think I give it a flat 9.
A flat 9. I would have gone even higher, but
go higher though. I'm not all dissuading right. you.
I'm going to say a 9.5. Well,
9.7.
Wow.
What's Sandlot?
9.5. Like 9.8
is Sandlot.
One under. 9.7.
I only go as low as I went because, in my mind, this series only goes up from here.
That is true. And I thought of that after I said 9.5.
But maybe that means we do go above Sandlot. I don't know.
Well.
So where does that leave us?
Gives us a 9.4.
Which is still way up there, is it not?
It is. It is our third highest movie.
What else is ahead of it?
Remember the Titans. And then Rocky IV is 9.1.
Bet ahead of Rocky IV, though.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
9.4 out
this
of
this is tough. I don't know. Might need to re-rank this. When we get to 100, 101. We might need to push this up
might,
a little
it
higher.
Might have gone, 9 might be way too low.
We
for
might
it.
Need to fix this.
But I feel like the next one is just going to be...
Yeah.
Now, that for me is a nostalgia thing. We'll see, but...
It's definitely a nostalgia thing. I don't think people think sure, of Major
it's
League
a, It's a good thing for well, you we'll guys when out. You're I'm nostalgic, curious, but when I'm what nostalgic. You guys have to
say. But you're nostalgic because you say, like, The Green Mile is the best movie we've watched yet.
That is not what I said.
That's basically
also,
what I said.
The Green Mile? We never watched that.
The Big Green.
The Green Mile?
Oh, that's funny. That's a decent movie.
Oh, my God.
But
all
it's
right.
not a sports movie.
No.
It's not remotely a sports movie.
Not even close. Not even close, but okay. Okay. That puts it very high.
It does.
That means it's on me.
It is.
That means we'll be watching.
We doing it?
Major League 2. Oh, I don't know where it's available, but it's got to be somewhere.
It's got to be somewhere.
It's got to be somewhere. I own it, so I don't need to. We have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Pluto TV?
Oh, that's easy. That's free.
Okay.
Perfect.
Oh, Pluto stinks, though.
But it's free, my guy.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to use it recently, and the user interface is so bad.
Yes.
But assuming I can find it on there.
It is on there.
Okay.
How many times, over under, how many times do I watch this before, after I take notes? Is this going to be a one-off? Usually I watch the movies once.
I don't know.
I might end up watching this more than once because I'm probably going to.
I actually almost watched it like immediately following the first one, but I was like, no, because then it will become one movie in my head and that will not
work. Yeah, that is a scary proposition.
But okay. Yeah.
All right, Major League 2 is next. That means while you have to do Major League 3.
I probably will, yeah.
Which I wonder if that's on TV.
I don't know if that's available anywhere. That's a weird movie.
It's good, but it is definitely...
It's okay.
It is definitely not the same as these first two.
Before we go...
Oh, that's also on Pluto.
Before we get out of here, though.
Nice.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been any Major League revival since...
No, because that one...
In the last, 10 years? Because everything's been revived.
That's true, but I feel like...
They have to use a different team.
The back to the minors thing is what, Like
it killed it.
Killed it.
Yeah, I get that, but people love Major League, and I would love to see these guys together again. And a lot of them are still doing stuff.
That's true.
So
I could see
them
like
a way.
I don't know what
coaches
Lou Brown's up to, but I could definitely see Jake Taylor being a manager.
I think Lou Brown's dead. I think the actor is dead. All right,
so then easily you just make Jake Taylor the manager.
Charlie Sheen could be the manager,
or he could be the pitching coach.
Is that the problem? Is it Charlie Sheen that's the problem? It would have happened already, but Charlie Sheen's such a fuck up.
Maybe
they can't do it. the right
way. I
feel
like people still like him, but
he was supposed to do one of the first pitches for the World Series when Cleveland was last in it in like 2016.
Really?
But apparently the Indians and the Major League Baseball already had people lined up for it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, what has Charlie Sheen done? Like in the last few years since he got kicked off of
what was this, the Tiger Sex or something like that? What was the
he was winning. That was him.
Yeah.
He was winning, but then wasn't there also he has or like there's some weird thing about AIDS, wasn't there?
I don't know about that.
He said
he has something wrong with him.
Hepatitis ones? Oh, okay. Maybe
he's in a show called Bookie. I don't know where that airs. But before that, nothing really that interesting. He hasn't done much.
I feel like you could get Dennis Haysbert to do something.
Oh, yeah, that guy's
I don't know what Rube Baker's up to, but I'm sure him and Tanaka can come back.
Right, you can get people back. I'm surprised there's not a major league.
I think you could easily just make a movie where Jake Taylor is playing the Lou Brown role.
Yeah, oh, yeah, easy. Easy. You get new players and you get some new goofs in there.
Yep. Easily.
I think it's possible. I'm surprised. I mean, that's what they did with the Mighty Ducks. They freaking redid the Mighty Ducks on that TV show.
I haven't seen any of
them. Not good, but they redid it. All right. Major League 2 next time. We'll see if it can get an 11 on the Richter scale. All right. We're done. Peace out.
Ding, ding.